Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
What is the financial tug of war we're all waging with ourselves? Let's talk about it today with guest Connor Tyson. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we all do better with money by talking about it. Let's get talking. In today's episode, we delve into an awesome topic of the financial tug of war that many of us find ourselves in. Our guest, Connor Tyson, shares his insights and experiences detailing how this tug of war can impact our lives and our financial health. We explored the importance of asking ourselves hard-hitting questions to gain a better understanding of our financial struggles, and we're also going to discuss the role that our behaviors and habits play in our decisions, and how making necessary changes can significantly improve our financial situation. Here's some key highlights from my conversation today with Connor. You're going to absolutely notice the impact of time and the impact that stalling has on our financial health, and also be aware of the role of self-awareness and introspection in understanding our financial struggles. It's really important to gain perspective, and there's a great concept we talk about today called the SMART thought process, and it really is going to help you out with purchases, and we'll talk about it more after the interview. But the importance on changing our money habits, how practicing new habits can feel like brushing your teeth with your offhand, you're going to find that it's awkward at first, but with practice, you become perfect at it. So we're going to talk about a couple things with changing our money habits and the benefits of automating your finances. And everyone who's listened to this for any amount of time knows that I love automation, and automating our finances is awesome. Also, again, accountability partners come up in today's conversation, as well as reducing shame and guilt and improving our financial behaviors. The money talking points for today's episode are: what questions do you need to answer about your financial situation? And 2, what behaviors are playing a role in your financial tug of war? And 3, who can be your accountability partner? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Connor Tyson, who is a financial coach, and I'm excited to talk about the tug of war of finances and a couple different things with him today. But Connor, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Connor Tyson. Thanks for having me on, Skylar. I'm a personal financial wellness coach. This is after being a financial advisor for 23 years. And I live up in Westchester, New York, married, 2 kids, and happy to be here today.
Awesome. This is going to be a fun conversation. Like you just said, you came from a financial advisor background and now you're helping people as a financial coach. So
yeah,
you really, really span the gamut there. You've talked about money in all sorts of different capacities.
Yes.
Awesome. So let's start off with a term that I saw on your profile that really caught my eye, and that's the tug of war of finances. What is that that people have with their money?
Well, it's like this stuff is not taught in schools, you know what I mean? And life comes at you pretty fast, and you form habits and behaviors from a pretty early age on how you operate with money, right? And it's like trying to build a car driving down the highway, right? So you graduate college, and by then you already have some own habits, and then you move out, get your first job, your apartment, you get engaged, you get married, 2 kids, right? You look up and it's like, wow, I got 2 credit cards, 2 car bills, the oil bill, and you're trying to figure it out. And it's somewhat overwhelming. You don't want to make a mistake. You're intimidated about sitting down with professionals sometimes because you're like, well, I'm not at that level yet. And you know it's important, it's on the radar, but all these other things are kind of calling your attention in life. And that's the internal tug of war. Like, you know you need to do something about it, you don't know where to turn, you're intimidated, you're like, I should be able to figure this stuff out, but you have habits and behaviors that are kind of blocking you.
That makes complete sense. Like you said, the tug of war, it's almost in our mind of, oh, I sh- I should be working on my money situation, but it's like, oh, there's so much else I also need to be worried about.
Yeah.
So how does this get in the way? I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. You can hear it a little bit as you say the example, but how does this get in people's way when it comes to their money?
Well, it's time, right? So as things unfold in your life, the biggest resource you're losing is time to catch up, right? And most people kind of wake up in their mid-30s sometimes. And by that time, you're already almost a statistic. Like, you have student loan debt, you have credit cards, now you have a mortgage, two kids, childcare, and you're like, oh, and then you start fighting. And you might have a significant other in your life. And you're like, this is causing too much stress, and it affects all the other areas of your life, right? It affects you health-wise, sleep, stress, socially. And that's how it really affects what's going on. And it's really about habits and behavior. It's not what you need to do so much. Mm-hmm. Most people know what to do, right? It's funny. It's like, spend less than I make, save, avoid debt, give. We know this on a gut level. We know this, but something along that journey, something's blocking us from getting what we really want.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to make. And I kind of want to just talk real briefly about time. Like, why is that so important that this tug of war is delaying what you're doing with your money? How does that impact people?
Well, other things kind of call your attention, right? So what is money, right? I understand at a high level, it's currencies, fiat currency, and a store of capital and blah, blah, blah. But really, what does it represent, right? And when you get really down to it, it's really time and labor, work, right? So like, I mow your lawn, it takes me 2 hours. You give me $100. That $100 represents 2 hours of my time and sweat off my brow. Where those 2 hours you gave me, you gave me the $100, you can do whatever you want to do. You can spend it with your family. You can go learn a new hobby. You can, right? So if you don't save, you are constantly trying to work, labor, and time. So when you store that away, it just means that money's working for you versus you working for money. And the less time you have to do that, sooner or later, the Pied Piper has to be paid. So
yeah.
That's why it's a big situation.
Yeah, you say money is time and labor, and it's almost the absence, or I guess having money further down the road, is the opportunity to not have to trade it for time and labor and things like that.
It's almost it gives you freedom and choice.
Which is why time is so important, whether it's investing, whether it's just simply having your own time, like your own like time right now to be able to enjoy instead of having to go out and work. I really like that idea. What questions can people ask themselves to gain perspective on their financial struggles?
This is introspection, right? So clarity is the first step that I take everybody through. You got to refocus and really get your why. And the questions you can ask yourself is, what is it preventing me from doing? What is it preventing me from feeling? How long have I felt like this? Who else is dependent upon change, of me changing these habits in my life? And once you really get into it, you get to your why. What's your principles and values of what you really want to accomplish? And money is just a vehicle to get you there. There's many ways to get there, but money is just a vehicle to get you there, right? So those introspection questions of like, okay, how is this serving me? And once you really, like, a lot of people today are impulse buyers, right? It's the impulse purchases and instant gratification. And one of the acronyms I use is called SMART. If you just ask yourself these five questions, you become way more of a aware consumer about your own behaviors and so on and so on. So SMART stands for self-aware. Is what I'm about to buy going to enrich my life in some way, shape, or form, get me where I want to go, right? Is this actually going to provide value to my life? M is motive. What is my motive for buying this, right? Is it I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm angry at the spouse, or I'm looking for prestige or filling some sort of void in my life? Am I just bored? Right? A is affordability. Is this actually in my budget? The B word, right? Is it affordable? Was I proactive and knew I was going to purchase this? Let's see what else you have. R, research. Have I done my research? Is this the right vendor? Is this the right price? Is there anything more affordable or any alternatives I can come up with? T is opportunity cost, time, right? Where is this the right time to buy this? Like, if I purchase this TV for $800, that means I might not be able to afford the plane tickets to Florida or that family vacation, right? If you just ask those five simple questions, you pause, stop, think, and then become more aware of why you're doing what you're doing and become more of a aware, proactive consumer of things.
Yeah, I like those. I like those 5 points. I think those are great for anyone to ask themselves. Maybe let's dive into them each just a little bit here, because I think they can offer some good thought for the listeners. But the one where you said you're self-aware, like, is that more around like, why am I purchasing this? Why? Or is that more motive? How does self-aware and motive?
Well, I guess, self-awareness compare? Is really with the clarity of what you ultimately want, right? Your orientation of what does success look like? Right. Mm. And is this thing that I'm buying enriching my life and those around me in some way, shape or form? Like, you see the candles in my backyard, in my background, right? Those didn't really enrich my life. Right. It was kind of like a impulse purchase, really, or it's probably a gift from somebody. But the things that I buy, I want to be able to, like, is it my principles of being service of others and family? Right. Are the things that I'm buying getting me closer to what I ultimately want? Am I living out my principles and values? Or is this just a thing to buy to fill some void of whatever it is? Like, I did a lot of that during COVID, right?
Yeah.
On Amazon scrolling, like, oh, I need this, I need that, I need, you know? And it was like, is this really helping me become the person I want to be and show up as
who I want to be? I like the extra layer of that of, is this helping me get where I want to go? And that's almost the... Is money a tool for me, or is it just something I'm just blowing through, trading time for money, and then just needing to keep working because of that? So awesome. And then affordability, I think, is a huge one, because I think people often, like you mentioned, budget's the B word, right? Yeah. People often forget, like, hey, I maybe don't have enough money if I spend my money on this thing. How can people be more aware of affordability? Let's say the budget is a B word to them and they're a little bit afraid of it. How does affordability actually help them?
So you want to be proactive versus reactive, right? Instead of tell your money where to go versus wondering where it went, and plan out the month ahead. Like, just take out a calendar and say, what's going on in the month of June? Right now it's May, right? And say, okay, get ahead of it and say, okay, I have a college graduation, I have family birthday, I have whatever it is. And am I actually putting the money in my budget? Money comes in, money goes out. In my budget, and am I being proactive and tell your money where to go? So you have your needs, right? The basic needs, shelter, food, all those things. And then the wants, right? And prioritize those and make sure you have enough money in place before the month starts, so you're not playing catch up, right? And then you can see where you stand. You have more awareness of, like, you know what? Yeah, I need to make $400 more to be able to do all the things I want to do next month, more than I am.
Yeah. Yeah, and that helps you, one, if you do need to go work a little more and make a little more money, you know you need to, but also getting ahead of it is such a big deal. I like to call that kind of the very first early stage of financial independence, is to be able to be a month ahead on your expenses. Because if you're able to say, oh, we made this much money this month, where can it go to next month? That's a big deal, because then you have so much flexibility and, like you said, opportunities and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Otherwise, where are you? You're going to just swipe the card. I have it, right? Because it's the instant gratification. I want this now. Swipe the card, and you're playing catch up constantly. And you're paying someone else for the decisions you didn't make.
Yeah. Everyone listening, use this as your chance to get 1 month ahead. I think that's a great place to get to. And then you can begin to expand on all these other questions and align your goals and everything with that. So, awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about, like, your life a little bit and how you've improved your situation over time and how people can improve theirs. What's something that you've done in your life that people can use to improve their situation?
Well, first of all, I had become aware of where I stood, right? And find it unacceptable, right? So I was a breaking point where I looked down and I had like close to $90,000 in debt. I had student loan, credit cards, auto loan. Right. And I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I was young. I was 24 years old, 23 years old. And I realized it wasn't about knowledge, because I had all the knowledge in the world. I had a degree in finance. I was a financial advisor. I had all these things. And I was like, wow, it's really habits and behaviors. And I was, how is this serving me? It's not. I felt like a fraud inside. I was like, I don't know. What was this all about? So I had to start saying no to the things I had to say no to and yes to the things I had to say yes to with clarity. and unapologetically to those around me. And it was, I actually found that they started encouraging me in my own journey. It was awkward in the first because I had some guilt, shame, remorse around it. But once I got clear on what I really wanted, I was able to articulate that in a manner where it was unapologetic. And I started having to do those habits and those behaviors that got in line with what I really wanted. And it took a while. It wasn't easy. But once I started doing it, I started getting ahead. And then telling my money where to go versus wondering where it went, started saving, paying off debt. Within 18 to 20 months, I was 100% debt free, and I've been debt free since. So it gives you, it gives you the flexibility and choice and freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
That's fantastic. And I think one thing I heard there is you're often not going to end up in the financial situation you're in overnight. I mean, maybe it's one very big auto loan and it was overnight, but you're also not going to get out of it overnight. So almost give yourself a little bit of, I guess, like grace and ability to work through it, because it is going to take some change. Like you mentioned, it's all behaviors and habits. And was it hard for you to
switch initially? I used the analogy of brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand, right? I'm a righty. Brushing my teeth with my left hand is awkward. I want to go back to the right hand all the time because it's what I've done all the time. I'm comfortable with it. I know, right? Give yourself permission to fail in the beginning because you haven't done this.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, right, but you stick with it long enough and all of a sudden it becomes a habit and behavior. It's second nature over time.
Yeah, we need to become financially ambidextrous. I don't even know how to say the word. So ignore that one if I said it wrong, but you need to be able to use both hands financially. That's a new way of looking at it for me. So that's awesome. You mentioned friends encouraging you once you started to be real with them and be honest with them. And let's jump to accountability partners for a moment here. How is that helpful for someone to be on your side when you're trying to make these changes?
It's huge. That's why I became a financial coach, because I realized it wasn't like telling people what to do. It was more of the why and how. And then my job, my journey became a lot easier with accountability and follow through. It's one of the big missing ingredients that anything that's really important to you, you can share with clarity with other people and how important it is to them, to you. They got on board with that mission with you. And then all of a sudden you're held accountable. Like, did you actually do those things? Did you do your budget? Did you actually review your expenses? Did you track where things are going? The power of focus and encouragement and celebrating successes. When you hit a milestone, you should celebrate that. And that's one of the biggest things that I found. And a lot of people are missing it. By accountability and follow through. Being held accountable to yourself is very difficult because you talk to yourself in your own voice and you believe it.
Yeah, there's something I heard. I want to say it was on a book that like we're the person we lie to the most. And that's why we need to get other people involved, because we'll easily lie to ourselves. We'll change the question and be like, oh, well, I kind of did it in this way. But when it's someone who's keeping you accountable to a written goal, especially, I love the idea of writing things down. But if your friend is saying, hey, here's our list of things that you said you were going to do this month to help with your money situation, let's go through them. How did this go? That's real. Like, that's hard if you didn't accomplish it, but it's also an opportunity to grow and be accountable. So I love that conversation. But why is behavior so important? Like, why do we have to get past the realization that it's not just like the math isn't working out, but it's because your behaviors and habits aren't in the right place? Why is it so important?
I always tell people it's not a math problem, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a math problem. It's basically the habits and behaviors that you might not even be realization of, because you've done it so often that it's just second nature to you. And you think it's the right way. The perspective is it has to be right because this is the way I've done it. But when you change those habits, first you have to start with awareness, right? That how is this serving me? And then what is it that I can do differently? The power of focus is a big one. Intentionality, being proactive, planning, pausing, all those things are behaviors. It has nothing to do with math. And getting the accountability and support you need, the tools and resources you need, knowledge. And those habits take time to form. It's not long either. 90 days, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to understand the nature of habits, meaning like how are habits formed? right? So you have a trigger, the routine, then the reward, and you keep going over and over again. The power of focus is big too. In the beginning, it was like I had all these things I wanted to accomplish. I had to prioritize those things. And the power of focus, I can't do all of them at once. Let me focus on one thing. One thing. So if I wanted to go to the gym, what's the one thing I could do? Lay out my clothes the night before. It's small, it's digestible, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Right? And then it sets me up for success throughout that whole process.
Yeah, laying out your clothes the night before is equivalent to planning 1 month ahead. It's equivalent to saying, hey, here's the, there's 4 weekends in the month of June or however many, and you're saying, here's the 3 activities we got, here's what they're going to cost, and that's laying your clothes out beforehand. So I think that relation is good when we relate it to other habits that we're trying to do. It helps make it a little bit more digestible.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I love to tell people that there's more to just money, more than just math to money, because if it was just math, we'd have it all calculated. Like mm-hmm. there's computers to do that. We'd have it all figured out. Money would be easy if it was only math, but there's so much more to it that we have to consider.
And sometimes you can take the behavior out of it and automate it, right? Pay mm-hmm. yourself first. That's a big, big habit that people want, but they don't have the discipline in place. And I don't blame them. It's tough to do, but you can automate those things. So right when I get paid, $100 goes to my emergency fund. $150 above and beyond whatever my spending is going to go to pay down my debt. And any money left over at the end of the month, if I underspent, is going to go to my debt. You automate it. Take that self-discipline out of your hands. That's another way to get around it.
Yeah. And I love automation in every aspect of my life. So I want to ask you a little bit more about it since it came up. But yeah. Like how you mentioned it can be the thing that gets people over that behavior hurdle. Is it, it's also something that I think that can seem intimidating because you're like, oh, I'm letting the robots control my life, I guess. Like that could be a concern. Like you're letting the system run your life. But why is it so beneficial to have that automatic savings, to have money automatically going to your retirement and things like that?
Yeah, it's kind of like the 401k, right? You automatically, mm-hmm. you don't even feel that money coming out of your paycheck. The net amount hits your checkbook. But they already took out $200 for your 401k mm-hmm. every pay cycle. And then when you look down one time, you're kind of astonished. Like, wow, I got $118,000 in here. How did that happen?
Yeah, it happened. It's the richest account.
Yeah, it just happened over time. And without you playing with it, you can review it. Obviously, check in with your money. Make sure it's doing what you told it to do. But that's the power of automation. Like, it just happens automatically. And time goes by very, very fast.
Yeah, and that little bit adds up and it grows, compound interest, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The book Automatic Millionaire, I believe, talks about how when you start that 401k automation at 1% and then slowly grow it, your lifestyle is going to be fine. Like like you said, you're not going to feel the money coming out. You're just going to see what you're getting paid and you're going to be okay with it. But if you were to try to take, say, $200, $300, $400 when you receive the paycheck and then put it into like an IRA, that's a whole lot trickier. Like it's the same amount of money. It shouldn't be, right? If it's just math,
yeah.
But it's so much harder to say, hey, well, I'm going to take $400 and put it in this account that's locked away for however many years.
Yeah, but we just went through tax season, right? The government knows this behavior and that's why they take their taxes out before it hits your checking account.
Yeah.
Same idea.
That's a perfect example. Like the government wants us to do this sort of thing because they know our behavior is going to struggle to pay it. I can't imagine like, how many more people, especially nowadays, like with financial struggles and things like that, would be in like tax debt and things like that if it wasn't automated? That'd be crazy. Huge. Awesome. Well, that was a fantastic conversation. I loved that. Let's talk a little bit about talking about money. So you talked about it with your friends. That helped them become accountability partners in a sense. You were able to celebrate with them. How is talking about money going to help people improve their financial behaviors?
It reduces the shame, guilt, and remorse around it, right? This is like this taboo thing, right? And what I found when talking to my friends about it, they were like, that's really good. I want that for myself. They were thirsty for knowledge on how to do it also. And once you started talking about it openly, like, yeah, that's not in my budget. Not like I can't afford it. I would always put the word yet in that sentence, right? Because that's mindset. But people want to win with money. And it's easier to do it together and hold each other accountable and talk about your goals and dreams and your shortfalls and like, yeah, I failed, right? Or what can I do better next time? And then all of a sudden you get a cult of people that are like, you know what? Yeah, let's do this together. I love this. Mm-hmm. And you start celebrating successes together. And
they mean more too, once you're at that point where you're doing well.
Yeah. And you have gratitude for, and you're happy for other people winning. there's a lot of shame. Listen, everybody's done, you know, stupid with money, right? Everybody's done. I've done it. You've done it. Everybody's done it. And there's no, it's not your fault. Like, if you think about it, it's not taught in schools. You're not supposed to figure this out, especially if you didn't have positive role models growing up, you know, to teach you the basics of what money is, what you can do with it, how does it compound, and how things work. Of course, you're not going to figure it out, right? So yeah,
it's hard.
It's real hard, right? And once you start looking up to people that actually have been winning with money and asking them, what did you do? How'd you do it? They'll be more than happy to share with you what they exactly did. Right. I mean, people love to talk about their successes and about themselves. And it's like, listen, let me ask you a question. I see you're pretty good with money. You're never really stressed out. You don't have, how'd you do that? Right.
And people are always willing to share. Like, you just got to get through that initial hurdle. And I mean, I want your take on this real quick. One thing I share with people is to break the ice by talking about someone else's financial situation. Because, like, if you're buried in credit card debt, that can be a hard thing to push through a conversation because you're embarrassed. Maybe you're worried that you're going to be judged and things like that.
Yeah.
So do you think it's beneficial for people to maybe, I don't want to say make up a financial situation, but maybe take someone else's that you see online just to break the ice?
Yeah, I think that's deflection, but yeah, it could break the ice of what it is. And then when you're comfortable enough, you can say, you know what, in relation to that, this is my situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I like the one of taking something you've seen online and say, hey, what do you think of this? And then you can immediately jump into, okay, we're through the uncomfortable part. Now, can you actually help me? So,
yeah, you can. Yeah, I used one not too long ago. It's just imaginary. Like the average car payment in the United States now is like over $600.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can say that, like, that's kind of crazy. But then the guy would give them their input of what that is. And then you can say, you know what, in relation to that, my car payment is
450,
yeah, 500 bucks or whatever it is. And maybe, you know, what strategies would you use to overcome this challenge in my life? Right. And they'd be like, oh, yeah. They just apply the same advice. It's just most people think about them more than they think about themselves.
Yes.
Right. It's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true at all. Right. It's your situation. It's your pile of mess. That has no effect on me. And if you're looking to clean that mess up and you're asking me advice for it, perfect.
I'll help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. It's no skin off my back.
Fantastic. So yeah, realize that people want to help. Just start talking about it. People are going to help you out. So Connor, this has been a great conversation. Couple things to wrap up here. First, I'll have you share how people can find you online and stuff like that. And then I have a final question after that that I ask everybody is, what's one thing you wish you knew sooner when it comes to money? So let's start off with how people can find you.
Yep.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. My website is Progress. I want to make progress. FC.com. So it's Progress FC. FC stands for financial coaching.com. So ProgressFC.com. I'm on Instagram, Connor Financial Coach, Connor the Financial Coach. You can follow me there. I got some stuff on there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. I'll make sure links are in the show notes. That's the awesome thing about podcasts. So
to
wrap up here, what's something you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Yeah, time and compounding of interest, right? Mm-hmm. If they taught this stuff in schools, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, then they just put it on the chalkboard, $250 a month, the 10% for 20-something years. I just did that every Wednesday. Sooner or later, that would sink in and you'd realize I can get money to work for me versus me working for money. And that would have been a big, big game changer instead of waking up to that at 24 years old, right?
Or
44, whatever you know.
Yeah, time's been mentioned many times. Like, time and compound interest has been mentioned many times as the answer to this question. And if kids at their first job could have, like you said, put $100, $250 away every week or every month, like just anything.
Every month,
that money would grow so much. Yeah,
you would have a down payment for the house, the car, you'd be debt-free, you'd have a lot of different things.
You'd be so far ahead if you start that early.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, this has been a really fun conversation, Connor. Thank you so much for joining. We learned a lot through this episode. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Skylar. Thank you for the opportunity and the platform to share.
Thank you to Connor Tyson for coming on today's interview. Next, I wanted to talk about the money talking points and kind of share my insights and thoughts around some of the things that we talked about in today's interview. So the first money talking point is, what questions do you need to answer about your financial situation? This can really be a whole lot of things. The questions you could ask yourself are, am I in a financial situation that I want to be in? What kind of changes do you want to make in your financial situation? What kind of things do you need to change? All that sort of stuff. The questions that you need to answer about your financial situation are really the ones that are nagging at you. Do I need to make a budget? Why do I keep finding myself at the end of the month with not enough money? And those sort of things can really get you thinking towards what kind of behaviors you need to change and help you kind of wrap your mind around the financial tug of war that you're having with your own personal finances. The second money talking point is, what behaviors are playing a role in your financial tug of war? Is it impulse spending? Is it impulse saving? Are you saving too much money and that's leading you to not be able to spend the money that you want to enjoy? What kind of behaviors are playing a role in that tug in your mind? What kind of things do you start thinking about when you think about spending money? What kind of things do you start thinking about when you think about saving money? That's the tug of war acting in your mind. And then the third money talking point is, who can be your accountability partner? Do you have a friend that comes to mind? And you know, I'd love to be your accountability partner. I'm always happy to keep people accountable. If you want to shoot me an email, I'm happy to help check in on you if you're trying to make some sort of financial progress. But identify someone who comes to your mind that could help you stay on track with your financial goals. But next, I want to talk about the personal finance power up. In today's personal finance power up, I want to talk about how changing our money habits can have such an impact and really power up your personal finances. Here's a couple things from the conversation that Connor and I had that I think you could take and apply to your finances to really level them up. The idea of brushing your teeth with your offhand really stuck with me, and the fact that changing your money habits is like that really struck a chord with me. It hits home perfectly, and I think it implies really well that changing our financial behaviors can initially feel difficult or unnatural, and it ultimately becomes easier with practice. Think about a financial habit that you have made change within your life. There's definitely something that you've done where you were like, oh, I need my financial situation to be a little bit different. What can I do about it? Think about that and then use that as momentum and motivation towards other habits. So let's say you do budget and you didn't used to budget. That felt a little uncomfortable at first. I'm sure of that. Well, just like brushing your teeth with your offhand, so I'm right-handed, brushing my teeth with my left hand can feel a little uncomfortable. But if I keep doing it, then it might even be easier to brush with my left hand than it is my right. And the same goes with financial habits that we're trying to instill. Another thing that I think is a big deal is giving yourself permission to fail at the beginning. And this is a reminder that it's okay to not be perfect when first implementing financial changes or new habits. The key is that continuous effort and practice brushing with the offhand. Third, automation helps you recover some of the initial behavior and habit concerns. It helps you automate things like savings, or even maybe helps you automate things like spending. Even though it might not be a good thing that subscriptions are automated and things like that, maybe there's a piece of your life that you need to enjoy a little bit more. So an automated subscription might be the thing that gets you to use that entertainment service or whatever it might be. But automation really comes into play a lot with savings. Can you reduce your reliance on willpower and make it easier to maintain positive financial habits? An idea that I heard from Connor is this idea of a trigger routine reward. It's a basic structure to help you recognize how you can automate things, and I really liked it. Is there a trigger that happens like a payday? And then there's an action that happens like saving money, or routine as it was called. And then the reward is allowing your money to sit and grow for a long time, or maybe even you need to have some sort of reward tied to it that you can use to motivate yourself. So maybe that reward is a nice dinner out every 6 paychecks that you save money, something like that. And automation can help make that even easier, because as you identify that routine and the trigger and the reward, you can begin to automate it and figure out how you're going to do that automatically and remove that willpower that you need to stay on top of that. And then another thing that you can use to power up your finances is deliberate decision making. Make sure you say no once you know what you need to do. Make sure you say no, I can't afford that yet. That's not in the budget right now. Things like that. That way you're deliberate in your decision making because you're intentional about what you want. And this is crucial for your long-term power up financial health. You can also get better at it with practice. We started this section talking about practicing brushing teeth with your offhand. Now we're going to end talking about it. Practice, practice, practice. Like anything else, it can be improved over time with continuous practice. So make sure you're practicing these financial habits. And if you need someone to check in with, I'm happy to talk about it with you. So shoot me an email. My email is in the show notes. Next, I want to talk about today's handy hint. In today's Handy Hint, we're talking all about the SMART framework for purchases. And the SMART framework, it's a really helpful tool that I caught from today's interview, and it's going to help you make conscious and deliberate financial decisions. It's going to encourage you to pause and consider in a comprehensive way how each purchase impacts you, and it's going to help you be deliberate in that decision making. So what does SMART stand for? Well, S is self-awareness, M is motive, A is affordability, R is research, and T is time/opportunity cost. Let's talk about self-awareness first. This is going to help you understand your financial goals and assess whether the purchase aligns with them. Does this purchase you're about to make that you're considering with the SMART framework bring you closer to your ultimate financial objective? If not, maybe you shouldn't buy it. Motive. What's driving the purchase? Is it wanting to impress somebody else? Is it being influenced by external factors, internal factors? Consider that. Affordability. Can you afford the purchase without negative consequences like interest, debt, things like that? Are you being proactive or reactive with your money? Think about if you can actually afford it, not just whether you can afford the monthly payment. Can you afford the item itself? R stands for research. Have you researched other opportunities? Have you looked into alternative options? Are there cheaper alternatives or better alternatives that you just need to put a little bit of research into? And that's really a big one with impulse purchases. Is there other options out there? And then number 5, or the T, is time or opportunity cost. What are you giving up by making this purchase? What are you giving up in terms of time? Are you having to work more because of this purchase? Are you going to have to work a ton of overtime in order to make this purchase? And maybe if you just didn't make the purchase, you'd have your weekend back, that sort of stuff. So think about the SMART framework and how it can help you make better financial decisions. Ultimately, when you start thinking about this framework and start thinking about purchases through this SMART framework, it can help reduce impulse purchases and help speed up your progress towards financial goals. And that's today's Handy Hint. Next, let's dive into the Money Talk Mastery and take a deep dive on time in our financial decisions. In today's Money Talk Mastery segment, we're talking about the importance of time in our financial decisions. So let's start off with the value of time. Time is a crucial factor in our decision making and in our financial decisions. The earlier we start saving and investing, the more time our money has to grow with the power of compound interest. And I don't think this is anything new that you're hearing for the first time. Maybe it is because this is the first financial podcast you've ever listened to. But it's very likely that you've heard of the idea of compound interest and time before. So let's move on to the next one of time lost equals opportunity lost. Every moment we delay in making sound financial decisions, we're implementing good financial habits, we miss opportunities for our money to work for us. So this is a great one. If you've been delaying for many years budgeting or tracking your expenses, well, you're losing opportunities where you could be gaining chances to understand how your money could work for you, or you're missing out on opportunities to understand your spending a little bit better. So implement those good financial habits sooner so that the time can be on your side with being able to make other changes. Of course, the earlier you start, the quicker your money can get invested and begin over time to lead you towards financial independence. The more time you give your money to grow, the less you have to work hard for it in the future. Because if you start early, if you start in your 20s or earlier investing in simple index funds, that money's going to have a chance to grow and you're going to get to financial independence a whole lot sooner. Time is also a finite resource. Just like money, you only have a limited amount of it. If anything, you have a more limited amount of time than you do money. You can go out there and make more money. You can get a job that makes more money. If you're in sales, you may be able to sell more, things like that. But you're not able to go to some sort of a market and buy more time. That's just not feasible. You are able to trade money to get time back by paying people to do things and stuff like that. But understand time is a resource that we're not going to get more of. So make sure you're using it wisely when it comes to handling our money. Procrastination goes hand in hand with the second point here about opportunities being lost. If you're delaying financial decisions, those can have long-term impacts. Not only do you lose potential growth on your investments and things like that, but you also lose the potential to make financial changes and habit changes and things like that by doing them later and later in life. So reduce your financial stress and cut out the procrastination. Send me an email and I'd love to help you get started with your financial changes that you may want to make. The Money Talking Points, if you are asking them to yourself and there's something that came to mind, send me an email about one of those questions you need to answer and I'd be happy to help troubleshoot it with you. Also in today's mastery segment, financial habits takes time. And I know I'm sitting here saying, change your habits, cut the procrastination, things like that. But it does take time. So give yourself a little bit of grace there. Understand that budgeting takes about 3 months to implement. So if you're in month 2 of budgeting and it feels like it's never going to get better, Use this as a chance to take a deep breath. And then after you take that deep breath, realize you still got many months to update and do better. And honestly, even if you're month 3 or 4 or 5 of budgeting and it's still tricky, that's okay. Understand that it takes time to build financial habits and to implement them. But since you're starting early and since you're getting your financial habits going now, you're going to just further reduce that time that it would have taken. Because if you wait to start budgeting and you're on month 8 and it's still challenging, just think if you would have started budgeting today and now think 8 months from now. You're absolutely going to be better at budgeting 8 months from now, so be glad you already started. And also, just as a final impact on time, make sure you recognize it in goal setting. Make sure you understand that there needs to be a time element to our goals. Do you want to make sure you're getting better at budgeting within 6 months? Things like that. Do you want to make sure that you have $100,000 in 6 years or something like that? Understand that time plays a role and make sure your goals are set around some sort of a time factor, because that can be extremely important. Ultimately, it's really not a good financial conversation unless you're talking about time, because time plays such a huge factor. How long do you have to be invested? How long do you have to make the financial change? Things like that. How quickly do you need the money? That's all a time-based factor. So in today's Money Talk Mastery, make sure you master the art of thinking about time when it comes to our money. But let's wrap up today's episode next. As always, thank you again to our wonderful guest, Connor Tyson, for coming on today's episode. I hope you can apply the insights that you learned from today's interview and today's Money Talk. I think it was a really great one, so be sure to share with a friend. In conclusion, here are the 5 most mentioned aspects from today's episode. The financial tug of war and its impact on your financial health. 2, the importance of gaining perspective on our financial struggles and asking good questions. 3, behavior and habits play a key role in our financial decisions. 4, accountability partners are incredibly valuable. If you listened quite a few episodes ago with Johnny Bowen, we talked about money buddies, so make sure you keep that in mind. And 5, discussing money openly has a lot of power and it's going to help you improve your financial behaviors. So make sure you're talking about money with friends or send me an email. Of course, you know, I love to talk about money. My email is in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. And remember to check out the website at skylarfleming.com and make sure you win the financial tug of war by starting to understand your financial struggles and make the necessary behavior changes. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.